Hello, and welcome to the Off-Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances. I'll be your hostess. Hello, and welcome to episode 170. I guess we could call it the back-to-school episode. We could call it the kind of sad episode. I don't know what else. The Travis just got groomed episode. I just got back from the dentist, and my nose is really numb episode. So many things. So many possibilities are open to us. I am sitting in the house because you know what? After all that talk of how cool it's been, and it's been gorgeous, and I don't complain about the weather, so even if it had been hot, I'd still have good things to say about it. But now it's really hot again. I mean, relatively speaking, it's sort of normally hot, which is in the low 90s, and that's just how we roll here in North Carolina, but we've gotten very, very spoiled. Anyway, I'm inside. The AC's not on, but it's cool. So I'm happy to be here. Let me tell you that it is a Tuesday, it's Wednesday, September 2nd. See, I just got back from the dentist. I'm a little out of touch with the rest of the world. And I'm actually waiting for a text from Will, who now has a phone. I'm waiting for him to text me about when to pick him up. He has been playing soccer. He is on the soccer team, the 7th grade soccer team. And I'm walking over to let Travis out. Anyway, Will's been playing soccer and not getting home until 5, but today is a little different because most of the 8th grade soccer team has gone on the 8th grade class trip. And that means that their coaches are also gone on the 8th grade class trip. It's not necessarily, one thing doesn't necessarily follow from the other, but that's how it's worked out. So no practice today. It's been interesting. Yesterday, Jack left on his class trip. The junior class does a tour, a civil rights tour, and they go down starting in Greensboro at the Civil Rights Museum there, down to Atlanta to the Martin Luther King Center, and on to Alabama, and they go to Birmingham and Selma and Montgomery. So it's supposed to be really great and very intense. So he's gone. So yesterday, Will did have practice, and I didn't have anyone to pick up until 5. So that was kind of, but I had lunch. This is the thing. I thought I was going to get all kinds of work done in the afternoon, but I had lunch with a newish friend, Kathy, who I like a lot. Her daughter is really good friends with Jack, and she and her daughter are very bright and interesting people. So that was great. But of course, as an introvert, that meant I was wiped out for the rest of the afternoon. So tomorrow, the man and Will are going to a football game in Charlotte. They're going to go see UNC play the University of South Carolina. Big, big deal. And Jack will still be out of town. So I'm like, I think I'm having pesto pizza for dinner or something with really stinky cheese. I don't know what, but it's going to be great. I'm really like girls' night in. Woo! Okay, so anyway, a number of you commented, I think last time I talked about I was going to have to get a little more professional with this, a little less rambly, and a number of you commented and said, don't ever change. Now, those of you who didn't take time to comment and say, yes, please change, you are out of luck because the people are like, oh, I really like it when you ramble and talk about stuff that's really boring to 90% of your listener. No, no one said that. But people said, oh, I like your rambling. So I've been encouraged. I hate to tell you that I've been encouraged. But I'm going to try to be less rambly. I might actually, I would like to have a little show tune, you know, at the beginning and the end. I think a number of people do that, and it seems very nice to me. And the man's going to work on something for me. I want to say thank you to everyone who commented on episode 169. Gretchen F. commented. She didn't even listen to the podcast before she commented. See, you can do that. It won't hurt my feelings. I just like the comments. Last week, I was talking about someone who does a lot of scrappy stuff, and of course, my 51-year-old brain could not remember who that was, and Noni wrote in to say, I was probably talking about Adita Sitar, which I was. Yay! Heard from Kelly the Fifth, and she doesn't want me to change. And if Kelly the Fifth does not want me to change, well, you know I'm not changing because Kelly the Fifth likes me just the way I am. Got a great, great, great long comment, and I won't read it all because I loved it. You should go read it. I won't read it to you from Deborah. Anyway, just about all kinds of good stuff. She says that her comfort show, we're talking about comfort shows, comfort movies, is the Miss Marvel mysteries. And, you know, I think those are on Netflix, right? So I will look for that. I shall, because I like comfort. And also, just in fall, you need comfort shows. You want to be cozy. I'm very about being cozy in the fall. So anyway, so thank you for sharing that, Deborah. And thank you. This was her first time commenting. See, it's never too late. You can have been listening since episode number one. And you might be thinking, well, man, it's episode 170. I think I have waited too long to come to the commenting party. You haven't. Come on, bring it. Bring it. Heard from Jenny in Oz, and she likes me chatty and friendly. Heard from Barbara, who is listening. I talked about Enchanted April, right, the movie, and I was reading the book, which is lovely, but it's called The Enchanted April, and she's listening to The Enchanted April. Also doesn't want me to change. Sorry, all these people saying, don't ever change. If you want me to change, you better get your vote in quick, because else I'm never changing. Oh. Will's just texting me. I'm going to let them wait a little bit because I want to get through this. Heard from Kitty Let 2, and she was going to send me a picture. I was talking about hallway quilts and, stairways with quilts. And Kitty, send me pictures at F, as in Francis, Dowell, D-O-W-E-L-L, at nc.rr.com. I'm sorry, I meant to reply to you. And I didn't, I might still do that. But anyway, yes, I would love to see that because I just love that idea. It was Adita Sitar who had the picture on Instagram. She's fun to follow on Instagram. I'm still figuring that out, who to follow on Instagram. Because sometimes what I did was I just, anybody I followed who I liked, Quilty, then there would be commenters, and so I would go and check out the commenters, and if I thought I liked their stuff, I would follow them. But then you realize over a period of time, it's like, yeah, but they also post a lot of stuff about their kids, which is great for their friends and family, not so much for me. So I'm still working on that. But certainly, Adita, am I saying that right? I've got to go scroll back to Noni's. Yes, Adita Sitar. I may not be emphasizing right, but anyway. Is a fun person to follow. Heard from Colleen. And she says she likes Quilty podcasts that are just real people chatting. And that would be me because I am very real. Heard from Dr. Molly. Another vote for keep it the same. All right. And then I heard, and this is such a great name, The Imperfectionary. Let me see. I don't think that, Okay. More from Will. All right. I'm finishing up. Heard from The Imperfectionary. Doesn't want me to change the podcast. She says she recommends Miss Fisher's Murder Mysteries. And they're wonderful. The costumes are wonderful. And they have Australian accents. Yay. That sounds great. So thank you, everyone, for commenting. And again, I think I got a number of first-time commenters. And these are people just have not gotten tired of me yet. Now, I'm sure I've got other things to tell you. But there's quilt diaries, there's lives to be lived, and apparently I have to go pick up Will and Gavin from school. So I think I'll make this a short intro, and if I think of other things, I'll start a new quilt diary later. So I hope you're having a great day, and I hope you enjoy this. And if you want me to change, let me know sooner rather than later, okay? Because otherwise I'm never changing. I'm getting old and set in my ways. All right, on with quilt diaries. See you soon. Bye. Quilt Diary Day 1. It is Thursday, August 27th. We've been in school now. This was the third day. Will is still at school because he plays soccer till 5. It's about 4. This is a really big deal because this is the year that Will plays sports for his school as opposed to a league. So he has sports practice after school. And when they have games, they get on the special school van and go to the games. When they have home games, I might attend one or two. I don't know. I probably will. Will does not actually play soccer. He's not played it in an official, formal way. He has played it with his friends for years on the playground. and this is his first year being on the team. You don't have to try out. I think Will is probably a pretty good soccer player. All his friends who have played for years have told him he should come out for the team and that he would be good enough to get playing time. So we're excited. I'm excited. It seems a little odd to have him gone until 5, but this is probably good practice for the future. I was just reading a recent post from Jay, the art quilt maker, on Facebook, and I think today is the day she is taking her son, the young man, to college. And I think the way she put it was, today is the day I'm giving up my boy. And that day's coming for some of us as well. Not today, perhaps, but in the not too distant future. So I guess it's good for them to stay after school till 5 to help you slowly get used to the fact that one day they won't even live in the same town as you live in. Odd to think about. Anyway, I guess I will start with some very sad news. Last week on my blog post, I showed you the finished quilt for our friend David. And the week before, I think I talked about what's been going on with David. He's been very ill for a long time, 4 or 5 years. And on Sunday, I finished the quilt. And on Monday, the man took it over to David's house. And I think David was in with a nurse when he got there, so he gave it to David's son, Isaac. And later that day, I got a very nice email from David's wife, Becky, saying that he was napping under the quilt, and he loved it, and they loved it, etc. On Tuesday night, David died. He was surrounded by his family. He was listening to Dark Side of the Moon by Pink Floyd, and in particular, Shine On You Crazy Diamond, one of his very favorite songs, was playing. And he left this sphere for another one. He shook off the mortal coil. And we're very sad about it. As I talked about, he was a wonderful man. Very funny and kind and generous. Very, very smart, but he was humble. And he always made you feel like you were the most important person in the room. He always made you think that what he saw when he saw you was your best self. He saw the self you wanted to be. And that is a rare gift. And one he had. There have been many, many Facebook tributes from friends all over the country from all sorts of different periods of his life. And everyone talks about just what a lovely person he was and what a kind person and what a good friend. And he was one of the man's best friends for, 30-some years. And that was a real gift. So we are sad. We're very sad. But we're very happy that he got to see the quilt and enjoy it for a couple of days, and that his family will have it. And I think the man in particular, it's one of these situations, because certainly we're friends with David's wife, but we live in Durham and they live in Raleigh, and Becky is really a very lovely woman, but somewhat shy and has her own circle of friends. And I think it's her close friends who are kind of right there with them, providing the meals and moral support for Becky. And I think when, with guys, I think the man was like, he certainly has been a great friend to David for many years. And through this last part of David's illness, was present for him and there. And, so has done what he can as a friend. But I think it made him feel good to offer David something tangible, a tangible object, expressing his love and affection. And it made me think a lot about quilts and just how wonderful they are, and how fortunate we are as quilt makers, one, to have this thing that we love to do, this craft, this art. I won't call it a hobby. It's not a hobby, but craft is good. We are crafters, and we make these wonderful blankets that signify so much, warmth and comfort and love and a personal expression of caring. You know, if you're going to make someone a quilt, you do it because you love them and you care about them. And, you know, the thing is you and I, we make quilts. If you're listening to a quilting podcast, you probably spend a fair amount of time involved in quilt making, even if you're making slow progress because you have a lot of other stuff on your plate. But quilting is just a part of our daily lives for most of us. And, you know, I was thinking, I probably make, 4 or 5 quilts a year. I would have to go back through and count things up. Some years you make more than others, but I think this year I will, my tally of finishes will be at 6. And so it's just part of my life, and it's not that I don't think about it or I don't think that it's neat or special, or, you know, obviously I have a great love of quilts and quilt making, but there's a way in which we take quilts for granted, right? If you are at Quilt Guild meeting, you're at a class, you're reading blogs by other quilters, listening to podcasts, we're kind of in this community of quilt makers, so it's not surprising to us that people still make quilts, right? It's not surprising to us, that this is going on. And yet I think if you're a muggle, you know, you don't even know. I think so often when I give people quilts, they're shocked. They're shocked. It's like, you made this? You know, you made this? You made this for me? And it's a one-of-a-kind gift, you know, and they're not, you know, I'm sure there's some people who have a number of quilters in their lives, and so they get a lot of quilts, but most people are lucky if they ever get one, right? And it's so meaningful. It was so meaningful for me a couple years ago when my mother was sick to get that quilt from the Twilters. You know, I cried, and I make quilts. I know people make quilts. I'm not shocked by the fact that people make quilts, but it was still so moving. It takes thought and effort. You know, you've got to have that idea. I'm going to make this person a quilt. My friend is sick. My friend is getting married. My friend is having a big milestone birthday. I'm going to make a quilt. And it takes thought and effort and planning to get that quilt made and to get it put together. And it takes a lot of money, but you know what? We don't even talk about the money. That is not a part, it's not just that we don't, I mean, we talk about it a little bit, we complain when fabric prices go up, but I think for most of us, it's not even part of the equation. And we know that once you get done with the fabric and the notions and the batting, and obviously if you send out a quilt to be quilted, you know you're talking an investment of at least $200 and more if you're sending it out to be quilted. To me, always the shocking thing is whenever I go to buy the backing fabric, and you're like, oh. One, I always calculate wrong, and I have a quilt calculator. I always calculate wrong, and the lovely ladies at Thimble Pleasures, they do too. But anyway, it's okay. It's nice having a little bit of a stash. But that's what, you know, I don't have a thought of that when I think, oh, you know what? Carrie's getting married in October. I'm going to make her a quilt. My mom has a big birthday coming up. I'm going to make her a quilt. David is sick. I'm going to make him a quilt. The money part doesn't come into it. That's not what we're thinking about. And nonetheless, the quilt represents a really serious investment of time and attention and thought. You know, a lot of people aren't thoughtful anymore, right? Or don't even need to be. And I certainly give gift cards. Especially as, you know, Jack is way past the birthday party part of his life. Will is at the very tail end. I hope it's over. And I will say that the last several birthday parties he's been invited to, there's been a very strict no presents policy. So, which I abide by 100%. But in any event, you know, so often, but even, you know, it's like when we were still going to birthday parties or the boys were, you know, you just get a gift card. If the kid was a reader, you went to Barnes & Noble. If the kid was a sports guy, Dick's, if you didn't know, Amazon gift card. Because I just, you know, because you just don't know people. Well, you get invited to all, not me, but my children got invited to all these parties for kids I didn't really know that well. I didn't know what they had. And it doesn't take any thought at all. I like getting gift cards. I mean, gift cards are fun. It's just someone's handing you money in a different form. But it doesn't take any thought. And the fact is we're all so busy. Even at Christmas time, you're like, you know, send me your Amazon list. Put it on your, you know, put together an Amazon wish list. You know, and we tell the boys that, you know, so that their aunts and uncles can get them Christmas presents. And it's very nice, you know, and it's nice to get the presents and they're, you know, they're in pretty wrapping unless they're just a gift card. But, you know, it's all good. It's all meaningful and thoughtful, but not as thoughtful as a quilt. Nothing is as thoughtful as a quilt, quite frankly. So it's just, but again, I think that we do this. And it's not that it's not special to us, but it is part of our lives. And for most of us, a very integral part of what we do and who we are, how we define ourselves. And I think it shocks the muggles. They're like, where did this come from? Where did this come from? And it's a very, you know, as anyone who's received a quilt as a gift knows, it's special. And this is not, by the way, me going, so I am glad I made David the quilt. Even knowing, I had hoped that he maybe would live for several more months, but knowing that he might not, it seemed worth it to me. And I'm not patting myself on the back, because you know what I mean, because it was special for me to make it, right? I mean, it's you want to say, no, I did it more for me, you know? I mean, because that's another thing, and that's a great thing about making quilts for people, especially in times of sorrow. That you get to do something. There's something you can do that will mean something. Something, you know, and casseroles are great, and DVDs are great, whatever. But when you make a quilt, you get part of it too, right? And you get to do something, and you get to do something that you know matters in the face of something very sad. So that's just what all this has made me think about. And we are very sad. And it's one of those things where somebody, especially for me, I haven't seen David that much. Certainly, I feel like I haven't seen him in a year. The man has seen him quite a bit more. But it's not, so when a friend who you love and who you're really, really sad that he's died, but when that person is gone, it doesn't affect your day-to-day life, and you can kind of skim over the fact, you know, you feel your brain coming up to that notion that David is dead, which seems impossible because he's just one of those people. I have one other friend who died, and he died 13 years ago because he died right before Will was born, and he was in his mid-50s, and he'd also been ill on and off for a long time. And it was funny, and he, in some ways, could not have been more different from David. But in another way, he's the same way. Is he always, when you were with him, he just made you feel great. He just thought, this friend of mine, he was a writer, fairly established writer, and he just thought, he's like, and he's from, one of the ways that he and David were very different is David was from Connecticut and Jewish, and my friend Tim was from Eastern North Carolina, and, you know, an interesting, but pretty down-to-earth guy. And I just remember talking to him, I think when my first book had just come out, and he was very proud, and he said, you know what, I'm going to nominate you for a Guggenheim. I think you should get some big money. I'm going to nominate you for a Guggenheim. I'm like, do it, man, do it. So he was that kind of guy, too, and I still can't believe he's dead, and it's been 13 years, and every once in a while, I am shocked by that fact, and I think for a long time, I will be shocked by the fact that our friend David died. Because he was too good to die. But apparently that's not how it works. This is one of those situations where why is not a good question. So anyway, I thought I would tell you that. And I know some of you know already because I posted something on Facebook. But I know that you would care. So let me tell you what's going on quilt-wise right now. I have been playing. So I finished my mom's quilt, and then I finished David's quilt, and I need to get the fabric for Carrie's quilt. I know the fabric I want. It's a French General. I think I'm doing the pre-cuts. And I just need to order it. I think I'm feeling a little cocky but I was able to put my mother's quilt and David's quilt together. It makes it sound like I sewed them together. I didn't, but you know, both quilt tops came together pretty easily. You know, it's some I've been doing this a little while now, and it's interesting to work with patterns. And although David's quilt was just, you know, it's just the fence rail, which is a really super easy. And the quilting, I did box within box within rectangle. For the most part, rectangle within rectangle, rectangle. So it was straight line quilting, but it was fairly straightforward. Well, of course, it was fairly straightforward because it was, well, straight line. But, well, you know, when I did that quilt for my friend Sarah, the big star quilt, that was straight line quilting, and that was much more complicated. In any event, both of those quilts came together very quickly. One, because on my mom's, I did just the spiral quilting, which I think, as I've expressed, I would like to have done a little more complex quilting, but didn't really have time. So Carrie's wedding is October 10th. I need to have the quilt done a few days, like the week before, because right before her wedding, I'm having my first colonoscopy. Yeah, and there's like several days where you're kind of not even eating. I had lunch with my neighbor lady friends today, Amy and Catherine. All my friends are named Amy and Catherine. They live down the street, and we try to have lunch once a month. That doesn't always work out. And I mentioned, so we were scheduling next month's lunch, and looked like it was getting into early October. And in fact, it was like the second week of October, which is the week of my big event. And I was like, and I said, oh, I can't do it. I'm having a colonoscopy, and so I can't really eat for 3 days. And Catherine is fun. I love her. She's from California. I think she's lived in North Carolina for ages. She's an artist and an environmentalist and just a lovely, lovely person. She's like, I don't get those done. She's like, you know, if they find something, it's about the same as you becoming symptomatic. I'm not explaining that well, but essentially, if they find polyps, you're kind of at the same place you would be if you had the symptoms of colon cancer. So why not wait? I don't know if that makes sense to me. I'm still pondering that. I'm still remembering that Catherine has a lot of interesting ideas, and I'm not saying that they are not without merit, but I feel like I will go through the, and her thing is, she feels like a lot of testing that's done is done to make money for the medicine folk. I don't know. She like the military, scientific, medical, and industry, whatever. And she may be right. She also doesn't get mammograms, because I guess the same kind of thing. I don't know. Anyway, I'm going through is what I'm going through. So it means I need to kind of be done with Carrie's quilt. It's a week before the wedding. The wedding is actually the day after my nice little procedure. I'm assuming I will be recovered and very thin. So yeah. Anyway, I need to go ahead and order that fabric because not be cocky and get going. Why not have it done a month ahead of time, I say. So that is certainly on the docket. But for the time being, until I get that all put together, get the order in, get the pattern out, start planning, I have been playing. By the way, Victoria Finley Wolf, who I've been enjoying, who wrote the interesting Double Wedding Ring book, and also has a book called, it's 15 Minute Improv, something like that, or 15 Minutes a Day. She's very into improvisational piecing. And she... Oh, sorry, my neighbor just came home. Threw me off. Anyway. So, and she has this thing about... I can't remember if she calls it made fabric, but essentially she makes fabric by sewing scraps together. And that's one way that she improvises and plays and tries to put stuff together that doesn't work so very well. So, and then finding something else, you know, another scrap that actually balances out. And I thought, you know, that's a really fun idea. I'm going to do some made fabric myself. I'm going to make some fabric. And the thing is earlier in the summer, you know, I've been going through a big decluttering thing. I got rid of like all my fabric scraps. So I have plenty left over from my mom's quilt and David's quilt. They're batiks. They're kind of in the, you know, my mom's, there's more pinks and yellows, and Dave's quilt had more subdued blues, duskier blues, but they're all, you know, the colors work together in a way that's almost disappointing. You know, I'm not going to be taking two really ugly fabrics and trying to, you know, throw in a third and try to make them work. But one of the things, I had extra blocks left over from my mom's quilt because there just was fabric in that fabric line that I hated and I didn't like the blocks. So I have these blocks left over, so I've been slashing them, and that is really fun. And then sewing them together and then slashing again. So I have like, I think at this point, 5 pieces, and they're not that big. Like maybe the biggest one is 12 inches long and 5 inches wide. But they're funky looking. I like them. I have no idea what I will do with them, if anything. I thought, you know, I could do some Dresden petals with them if I wanted. Or I can just leave them up. They're on my design wall. I like looking at them. I think they look neat. You know, part of me thought, oh, I can make a quilt and, you know, actually just have these very funky, make each one a block. And have these sort of funky off-kilter blocks. But, and maybe that's what I'll end up doing. But why not wait? You don't have to do anything at all with them. They can just be for a while. And maybe you'll never do anything with them, but you'll just have them and enjoy them. And I do enjoy them. I do like them. I like looking at them. But that's been very... So I've done that the last couple nights. And it's really fun. It's fun slashing up blocks. I would suggest, if you've got some orphan blocks just lying around, or get some, you know, if someone's offering some at a guild meeting, get them and cut them up and sew them up with different pieces of fabric and just see what you get. Some of this stuff is really... It seems to me that the more you slash and the more it's like sew stuff together, but then slash that again, everything gets very seamy. You know, that sounded wrong. You know what I mean? Lots of seams and a couple pieces, especially if you're doing really small pieces, it gets lumpy. You can get some lumpy fabric with this process. But man, the more you cut stuff up and reassign it, the cooler it looks. So I'm having a good time with that. And have I talked about my discovery quilt? I imagine I have, but you know, when we went to DC, we went to the Air and Space Extension, which is out in Chantilly, and took lots of pictures, and so did the man of the Discovery Shuttle, which they have out there, and I want to make a discovery quilt. And one thing I may do this weekend, I don't know, now David's memorial service is Sunday, and it's followed by a lunch, so I don't know what kind of time I'm going to have this weekend, but what I'd like to do soon is go to Thimble Pleasures and start looking around for fabric. I want to find some fabric with print on it, but that sounds like, but like words, that kind of print, like newsprint kind of print, not just prints like flowers, like all fabric that isn't solid, but newsprint and writing, and that will be fun to do, to have that to play. But I like the idea, and I'd like to see if I can make something interesting. And I'm going to stay open to failure, because you have to, right? You have to if you're going to grow as an artist. So I think I need to go check my phone. I don't know what time it is, and I will expect to hear from Will shortly to be picked up and come home all sweaty and needing to eat immediately. And yeah, so better go do that. But I just wanted to update you. That's what's going on right now, and I will tell you more soon, I'm sure. See you later. Quilt Diary Day 2. It is Monday, August 31st. It's my mom's birthday. Happy birthday, Mom. I had a nice chat with her earlier today. She's been very busy. One of her best friends came into town on Friday, and she and my mom and my dad apparently just went out to eat constantly and had a fabulous time. So that's a nice way to spend your birthday. Yeah, so I'm sitting on the porch. It's about 3. I'm waiting to get texts from my boys. Jack and the rest of the junior class had their junior class scavenger hunt today. The hilarious thing is that we've not had rain, like a serious rain, in really over a month. It's been very, very dry. In fact, it's actually been kind of wonderful because it's not been humid. And, I've been talking about how great the weather's been. Well, the one day you kind of would like to have the nice dry weather, pours down rain. I know there's some hurricane action south of us. I mean, way south, I think, coming into Florida. KDR, I hope you're okay. And so when that pushes weather into us. That may be why we've got rain. I've been a little worried, like, is everything going to burst into flame at any second? And I know some places that's a real threat. I don't think it's a true threat here, but nonetheless, very dry until the day of the junior class scavenger hunt. It's a bonding thing. Tomorrow they go on a trip. It's the civil rights tour that the junior class does. They leave Tuesday morning and come back Friday afternoon. They go to Greensboro, Atlanta, Birmingham, Selma, and Montgomery, and then head back home. So it's a pretty extensive trip, and I would love to go. I would really love to go. I think that Jack would hate that more than anything in the world if I went, but it sounds fabulous, so I'm so glad that he's getting to do that. But I think that's the reason for the junior class scavenger hunt is, one, it's like nobody's going to want to teach a class, and then the next day everybody's gone. But also it's a way for them to do a little pre-bonding. A lot of these kids are very bonded. For a lot of these kids, it probably at this point feels like bondage because they've been together since pre-K. Jack's been at Durham Academy since kindergarten. Anyway, big trip. And a rainy day to go scavenging. And Will's supposed to have soccer practice. The rain has stopped. I don't know if they will still practice. He is on the soccer team. Last week was tryouts. Everybody makes the team, but there's a white team, which is mostly 8th graders, and a green team, which is mostly 7th graders. And he made the green team, which he was actually kind of hoping for, because although it sounds like he's a really good goalie, that would be a lot of pressure. And in fact, only 2 7th graders made the white team. So that's all good. So all his buddies are on the green team. And when I was talking to my mom, I said, well, of course he wants to play goalie, because that's one of those really nervous-making positions if you're a parent, when they're the goalie or the pitcher, it's not fair that everything seems to come down on that one person, but that is the person. Like, if the goal goes in, you kind of blame the goalie. And I'm like, great. I just love that so much. So I don't know if y'all have practice, so we may hear some little texting buzzes. He got his phone last week. I think I've talked about that. And he did spend this weekend texting, and I kind of let that pass because, one, he's having a great time. 2, we have his password so we can keep up on the content of these texts. And I think it's just mostly him and his friend Ashank just saying goofy things because they have phones and they can text each other now. But I think we're going to have to put some limits. So we already have limits on the phone, and now I'm seeing why we might need some more limits. So in any event, I am sitting here on the porch waiting for my Fat Quarter shop order to get here. I'm hoping I ordered fabric, the French General Jelly Roll. I feel like I ordered it Friday. I realized I really need to get going on that. Ordered it, and the thing is, I would be surprised if it got here today, but that is one thing about ordering from the Fat Quarter shop, man. They get stuff to you fast. I really like doing business with them. They're one of my favorite places. I'm looking forward to, I think because I'm tired today, we went to Dave's memorial service yesterday, and it was beautiful, and it was standing room only, as anyone could have predicted. I was talking, David's wife is Becky, and just my heart just is broken for her right now. They had time, they planned all of this before Dave died. They knew he was dying, and so they figured out what did he want, what kind of memorial service did he want. He wanted a secular memorial service, so the person who led the service is from the Humanist Ethical Society in Chapel Hill. So basically a non-religious but believe life has meaning. By the love we give to one another here on earth, apparently. That was the big message that I got yesterday. He did a great job. But Becky, I think, had anticipated maybe 75 people would come, and her best friend Rhonda told me that. And Rhonda and I just looked at each other like, what was she thinking? And Rhonda said, yeah, I told her it would be at least twice that many. And it was more. I think it had to be close to 200 people, standing room only crowd, and very moving. And the thing that was the most moving and the most difficult was that David did a video. And he must have done it this summer. I think my guess is it was around the time, probably before he'd gone to the doctor. He died exactly a month to the day that he'd gone to the doctor to see if he could tolerate further treatment. And the doctor, the pulmonologist, said no. Any further treatment at this time would just kill you. You can't do it. And he knew that day was coming, so I suspect it was maybe sometime in July that he recorded this. And, you know, and it's him, and, you know, he's been on all these medications and steroids and various things, so it's like his face toward it was just very puffy and almost unrecognizable, except that it was Dave, so as soon as he started talking, it was totally recognizably him. He's very funny. And he just, you know, he talked about friends, and he talked about the man, which was wonderful, because, and I'm sure I've told you the story that when Dave was in the hospital over at Duke, the man went over every day and made him walk. His doctors wanted David to exercise, and he didn't want to. So the man went over and said, let's go, before work, every morning, and made him walk. And that was really important that he did that. So he talked about that. But he was like a friend guy, you know, and so he, like, grew up in Connecticut and had all the same, you know, just kept every friend he ever made. People came. Okay, he died last Tuesday. This was Sunday, not even a week later. And people came from all over for the service. So he's just one of these great friend guys. He was good at being a friend. He had many talents, but I think his greatest talent was being a friend. And the part that was the most heartbreaking in this recording, you know, he was telling stories, and it was funny, and it was good, and enlightening, and made you feel happy. It made you kind of feel like he was in the room with you. But then he said the hardest thing about this last leg of the illness was that he really was not able to get out. And he used to, it's like he and the man used to meet in Raleigh after work for a beer. They went to bands together. Dave was always getting tickets and, you know, shows, and did the man want to go, and, you know, so, but was getting together with people for dinner, and he just that was his thing. And he traveled a lot too. He and Becky traveled a lot, but he was really just this, so he lived very fully, but his friends were so important to him, like his family first and then his friends, more important than anything. And he in the recording, when he talked about how hard it had been, you know, this last leg of his illness, not to really be able to get out and see people very much and do the things that he loved to do, and he started crying, and everybody in the room started crying. You know, it was just like, at that point, people are sniffing and snorting, and I had been, you know, more dry-eyed at that point than I thought I would be, and I think because there was so much good humor, and Dave had been in a band, and the band played a couple songs, including a Grateful Dead song, and I'm not a real Deadhead, but, you know, I'm sitting there going, oh, this sounds really good, and enjoying it, which I think is what David hoped for. So I was like, oh, I'm getting through this pretty well. You know, the man was crying a little bit, but he was getting through it pretty well. And then the recording, and when Dave started crying, I mean, just everyone was gone. But it was beautiful. And at the end of the recording, Dave talked about how, you know, he wanted to be remembered. He just, you know, and he will be remembered. And certainly there was a very nice lunch afterwards. This took place at the Carolina Inn, which is right off the UNC campus, UNC Chapel Hill campus. And you know, people had a good time. I mean, people were sad. You know, it's like I've known this whole circle of, you know, one circle, the man's connected circle to David. David just had so many different circles. You know, so I was seeing people, and I've seen like his brother, you know, that I've known for years, including his brother and sister-in-law, who I like very much. And you say, oh, it's so good to see you. And then you remember why you were seeing them. You're like, but it's really sad to see you too. But people were laughing and talking and really had a good time and were really remembering him. So it was good, but now we're absolutely exhausted. I can only imagine Becky and her son Isaac, who's such a lovely young man. He's 24. I just hate it. You know, I hate it for them, for Becky and Isaac, most of all. I also really hate it for the man because he will never have another friend, you know, and it's on a lot of different levels. It's just one, if you make a really close friend in college who you stay close to your entire life, if that person dies, you're not going back to college to pick up another really close friend. It's like that's a huge, huge loss. Excuse me. All right, that was Jack, so I'm going to have to wrap this up, but as I said, you can't remake a friend like that. You can make new friends, and they can be close, good friends, but it's not that kind of history that you have with this person you meet the first day of college, which is what happened. So I just, you know, that my heart is broken for the man, because that's, you know, and he's a man. And although, and you look at Dave, who had hundreds of friends, but a lot of men I know have two really close friends, which is true of the man, and now one of them's gone. And so I'm having these thoughts like, well, what, you know, it's like all these things that you need your close friends there to get you through. The man doesn't have one of those people, and one of those people, you know, his close friend who was close by and always showed up and would have showed up for anything important or sad. So it's very heartbreaking. So we were exhausted. It was a beautiful, taxing day. And the man decided to work from home today, and he slept in really late because he needed to. And he's actually taking a nap now just because he knew that he wouldn't be able to take one later because we have to run around and do some stuff to get Jack ready. But anyway, so I will continue. I'm just going to pause this, and I will continue when I get back. But I think my main point with all this stuff is when you are sad, which I am, and when you are sort of emotionally exhausted, which I am, there's a really lovely thing to thinking, I've got fabric coming. I won't mess with it today because I will totally screw it up if I do. But it's on its way. I have a pattern. I have a quilt to make for someone I love who's getting married. And I don't have to do anything except make it. You know, I don't have to come up with my own pattern. I don't even have to cut fabric. I mean, I will have to cut fabric, but I don't have to cut fabric strips. I don't have to wrangle yardage. I don't have to be a yardage wrangler, right? It's very satisfying. You know, I talked about how it's been odd to do simple quilts, you know, quilts with very, you know, do a quilt from a book, because I kind of haven't done that in a little bit. You know, the Big Star pattern was a pattern that I saw in Fonza Porter, not called Big Star, but that I kind of, you know, I looked at the picture and figured it out. I think I did. I'm pretty sure I did, because I didn't use the same dimensions. I may have used their dimensions for the start, but nonetheless, I was still figuring stuff out and picking colors and et cetera, et cetera. So right now, the idea of having a semi-mindless quilt, because it will feel that. I mean, I've done enough jelly roll patterns, right? You know, I know I'll be cutting out any number of 4.5 by 2.5 strips, and that sounds good to me. I'll get back to the harder stuff later. I don't want to do anything hard right now. Not today. And you know, also, it's just the whole thing working with a pattern. It's like when someone dies and it breaks your heart in so many different ways, I think patterns actually may become very important. And rituals. And his service was just what he wanted, and it was beautiful. You know, but, and I don't have, there's no but, there's nothing, I didn't walk away. I think if anything, I just, rituals are nice. And it was ritualistic. I mean, and there was music, there was speaking, there was so there were not crosses, which wouldn't have made sense anyway, because David was Jewish, so that would have actually been weird. So anyway, but patterns, certainly. At times where you're just going, wow, this doesn't really make sense to me at all. At all. I'm kind of, to use a little bit of strong language for a quilting podcast, I'm sort of pissed off about it, quite frankly, that this man died. I keep like looking at God going, really? Really? That you thought this somehow was a good idea? I know it's not his fault. I don't actually really think that God strikes people down to make a point or otherwise, but there is so yeah, going, I have a pattern. I'm going to cut things out and sew them together using my pattern, and I'm going to make a quilt, and I'm going to make it with love for people I love, and that seems really good to me. All right, I'll be back and finish this up shortly. Okay, I'm back. You didn't even know I was gone, except that of course I told you I was going. All right, so my big plan today, I was going to sit down with the August-September Quilters newsletter and just chat about it, like the old Patchwork and Pacifiers podcast that I still miss. But you know, now I'm like, I don't know, maybe next time. I will say, there's a great article in there that I thoroughly enjoyed by Sherry Reynolds, who is a winner, Best of Show winner at the Quilt Festival in Houston. Her quilt, America Let It Shine, won Best of Show in 2012. And she has a journal. It's called 10 Months in the Making of a Show Quilt. And she's going through the process. It's essentially a timeline for making a quilt called Eternal Beauty, which is, I would say, at the center of the quilt is a mariner's compass, or a mariner's compass E kind of medallion. And I would recommend picking up this issue just for this journal, because it's really fun and funny and a very enjoyable read. But I have to say, it also sparked in me when looking at the centerpiece for this quilt, and I don't know if it's won anything. It looks like a kind of quilt that would. I mean, really, all you see is the center of the quilt. It's possible that's the whole quilt, that it's a round quilt. That's all I see. I mean, it's tremendous. You look at it, and the level of detail, the level of skill that it took to make this quilt is overwhelming. It is something I will never achieve. I mean, in part because I don't have the desire to achieve it. But looking at it, I just admire it so much. And yet, you know, it's funny, and I feel this way about a lot of quilts that win Best of Show. Let's say traditional quilts that win Best of Show, because I love like Victoria Finlay Wolfe's quilt that won the Best of Show in the first Quilt Con. It was one of her double wedding rings, and I love, love, love that quilt. Although apparently it was a little controversial because it was playing on such traditional tropes. But I love that quilt. But when you come to more traditional shows, oftentimes I don't. And again, it's not like, oh, I hate that quilt. I don't understand how could that quilt win. It's not that at all. And I'm always so impressed with the level of skill that took to make the quilts that win. But I very rarely love them, you know. And I feel like I love so many lesser quilts, right? Quilts that maybe didn't even take that much skill. That certainly didn't take a year to make, or 10 months to make. That may have taken a weekend to make or a few weeks to make. But quilts that I just like, that just make my heart go, oh, I love that quilt, right? And I look at this and I go, wow, 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 that is an impressive quilt. But that's not the same as love. So I don't know. Do you know what I mean? Do you have quilts that you really, really love and others that you admire but kind of leave you cold? Because this one kind of leaves me cold. And I find that, again, about so many prize-winning quilts when it comes to traditional quilt making. And lesser quilts that leave me warm and fuzzy all over. So again, I'm really not meaning to denigrate this quilt, because there's nothing to denigrate. It's gorgeous, gorgeous. But not my thing, I guess. I mean, that's the thing about aesthetics, right? If we all had the same aesthetic sense, then, you know, quilt shops would run out of certain fabrics. We'd all be sad. But there's so much overlap in people's and varying aesthetics. So it's interesting when you get to this place where it's like, no, that doesn't work for me at all. I don't know. So I was going to talk about that, and I guess I just did, so I won't come back to it and talk about it again. I do enjoy this magazine. I just enjoy, I enjoy that there are just not that many patterns. I'm looking at this, you know, the patterns in this issue, and I'm trying to see. There's one called Crown Jewels, designed and made by Mary Kay Price, which is very pretty. I haven't always liked their patterns, but I think they're getting, I like them more now than I used to. So see, I am kind of talking about this, but I really want, oh, there's one that's Christmas Surprise, very cute. Intermediate Barbara Fritchie's Star, which was inspired by the story of Barbara Fritchie, one of Maryland's Civil War heroines. It's designed and made by Georgina Fries, and it is a very traditional Civil War era quilt. It is not what I would make, but I like it. And oh, and then there's one called Stars at Night, made by Bia Lee, and it's really pretty. I like that. I could see making it. I think, you know, it's funny, as I think about making quilts and what quilts I want to make, I feel like I have a category of quilt that is kind of gift quilt. Like, oh, you know, it's like quilts other people would really like a lot. And it's not that I don't like them, because you don't want to start a quilt that's not making you happy or that you don't find aesthetically pleasing. But it's not a quilt that you would necessarily keep for yourself or make for yourself. And I don't know why that is. But there's just some, you're like, I mean, I guess we all need a stack of patterns or ideas for making quilts for other people anyway. So if you see one like that, by Miss Bia or B Lee, it's BEA. Do you think that's just B? I like it, like short for Beatrice. Then it might be Bia, just no Tris. Anyway, but I see one like Stars at Night. I think maybe too, because it's like the quilts I know I'll keep are the ones that maybe don't have guaranteed success, right? Are there learning quilts, maybe? So you think, well, I'd like to learn how to do this, and I'm not going to plan to give it to someone else because it may not work out. So it's a learning quilt, to learn a skill, to try stuff out and experiment. I think those, just like, oh yeah, and then I'll keep that. That'll be one of my quilts, where Stars at Night, which is so pretty. It's a lot of different blues, gray blues, mostly, in a little periwinkle, so that's getting pretty close to my wheelhouse color-wise. But it's lovely. It does make you think of Stars at Night. And but that's when you think, oh, you know, I like that. It's pretty. That would be a good one to have on file the next time I need to make somebody a quilt. So food for thought. So anyway, some nice patterns. You know, I'm sure I've discussed before. I feel like I say that all the time, but I just know that I repeat myself. So I want to, you know, let you know. I know that I repeat myself. I probably, a lot from episode to episode. But I think for a long time, and I think they still do, that they're the images of their quilts. They're not photographs. They're computer generated. And in Quilters Newsletter, which I think is problematic because it renders the quilts a little bit flat. Whereas if you see a really well-done photograph, you kind of feel the life of the quilt more than you do when you're just looking at a computer-generated image. All right, my dears, I think I'm going to finish this up, and then hopefully, I don't know, maybe later, I will get a chance to record the opening, and if not, I'll do it tomorrow, and I may sound just a little bit more energetic. Let's have our fingers crossed that I get a good night's sleep. And tomorrow, I think, is supposed to be sunny, which will be pleasant, because a sunny day. Sometimes you just need a sunny day. You just need a good old sunny day that makes you feel like, yeah, 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 we can do this. We can make this happen. All right, so I will say goodbye for now. I hope to be back next week. Until then, remember, life is short. Quilt first. See ya.